Well, let me pray and I'll get started. Father, I thank you for your faithfulness. And Lord, we do want to just pray about next weekend and our friend weekend that, Lord, I know that many of our folks have invited their friends to come. And I just pray, dear God, that you would give them favor. And I pray, Lord, that their friends would respond and come and be a part of the service. I pray for our Westfield campus, Lord, as they're preparing for that opening weekend. I just pray, Lord, that everything would go well and that all of their invites would be accepted and that it would be an incredible weekend for them. Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing here in our church. We thank you for all those that were baptized this weekend. And we just ask that you would continue to bless all that we're doing. But God, not just us. Father, my prayer is that you would bless every church in our community that's preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. I just pray, Lord, that you would be with their pastors, that you would be with their congregations. And I pray specifically today for Genesis Church. God, I just thank you for that great congregation and for their pastor, Paul Mumau. I thank you for that great guy. I thank you for his friendship and that we could link arms together to make a difference throughout central Indiana. Lord, we love you and praise you. We ask now, Lord, that you would just be with us. Help us to open up our eyes and ears that we might see and hear all that you want to say to us today. In the name of Jesus, amen. So do you ever get angry? Do you fume when someone cuts you off in traffic? Does your blood pressure skyrocket when your child refuses to cooperate? Do you have a short fuse or find yourself in frequent arguments or fights? Well, friends, it might surprise you, but anger is actually a normal emotion. But when it spirals out of control, it can take a toll on your health, and certainly it can take a toll on your relationships. And I would say to you, my friends, that if it feels like people are getting angrier today than they ever have been before, well, it's because they are. In fact, the USA Today did a study just recently, and they said the percentage of Americans who report feeling angry or irritable has surged from 50% 2 years ago. So 2 years ago, 50% of the population said they feel a great deal of anger. To now, 2 years later, 60% say they feel a great deal of anger. A Harvard Medical School study from 2012 found nearly two-thirds of American teenagers admit to having anger attacks involving the destruction of property, threats of violence, or even engaging in violence. We see signs of anger or the nation's irritability everywhere we look today. I mean, come on, think about the polarization of our political system today, the everyday nastiness we see in the online world, or the workplace shootings that we continually see. There is an anger epidemic in America, and quite frankly, it's alarming. We've even tagged it road rage or going postal. Some even describe it as America's anger epidemic. At times, aren't we afraid to look someone in the eye because we're afraid they might pull out a gun and shoot us? And yet, most violence in America is not random, but it's violence that occurs between people that actually know one another. In fact, nearly 60% of the murders that take place in America happen between people who knew one another. Last year, 4 million women were beaten by their husbands, and over 10 million children were abused by parents that just didn't know how to control their anger. Psychologists have called it this generation the age of rage. I heard one psychologist and author, Richard Dobbins, I heard him at a conference once speaking, and he said men basically have three issues that they struggle with. Number one, they struggle with sexual issues. Number two, they struggle with anger issues. And he said number three, they lie about the first two. And yet no one seems to be teaching anger management. It's not talked about in our schools, and we don't talk much about it in the church world either. Well, today, we're going to conclude our four-week series. If you've been here for the last several weeks, you know we've been in a series called Handle It. We've talked about how to handle life's hurts. We then talked about how to handle discouragement. Then last week, we talked about how to handle our stuff. And today, we're talking about how to handle our anger. And I hope that you'll be proactive today and that you will take notes. And so those notes are in your worship guide if you pull those out and use those. I know there are some of you that say, nah, Steve, I don't really take notes that often, and honestly, I don't struggle with anger. That may be the case, but friends, if you have kids at home, I hope that you will take notes so that you can use these principles with your kids. In Proverbs chapter 14, it says, people with understanding control their anger. Did you get that? People with understanding control their anger. A hot temper shows great foolishness. Listen, while anger is a God-given emotion, Those that cannot control their anger, I'm telling you, they'll make some serious mistakes in their life, and they'll end up with some serious regrets. But again, friends, we're all going to have those times that we get angry. In fact, anger in its proper place can actually be a source of strength. It can be a source of protection. It can keep you from becoming a victim. Anger is designed to help us deal with threats that come into our life. Anger can also, well, it can also motivate us, if you will, into action. An example of what I'm talking about, some of you will remember back in the 1980s, there was a few women who had lost their children to drunk drivers. And out of their anger, they formed a group called MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. Their anger over the loss of their children motivated them to create one of the largest victim groups in America. In fact, it's what you might call this anger that they felt is what you might call a righteous indignation. It's when you get angry at those that act contrary to God's standard of fairness and justice and goodness. The anger, if you will, is actually more directed at the wrong that is done instead of at the person involved. But friends, the important thing about the emotion of anger is that we have to learn to control it. It's really serious. We have to learn to control it. We all seem to respond to anger in one of two ways. We either blow up or we clam up. One guy described it this way. He said, people are either skunks or turtles. He said, if you're a skunk, we spray our stinking temper over everyone that gets in our way. Or if you're a turtle, you kind of pull yourselves into a shell. Well, both, friends, are inappropriate expressions of anger. And yet, doesn't it seem, I find it interesting as a side note, doesn't it seem funny that skunks seem to marry turtles? Well, today, I want to talk to both of you, if I could. And again, I hope you have your notes out. If you will, I want to give you six keys that are found in the book of Proverbs that will help us to control our anger. And so the first one in your notes, number one, is determined to control it. Determined to control it. Listen to me, friends. You have to stop saying, I can't control my anger. I hear that all the time. I talk to people that are having marriage problems and anger is an issue. I talk to people that maybe lose a job over anger issues. And when you talk to them, they quickly say, Steve, I just can't. I can't control my anger. That's just not true. You absolutely can control your anger. No, you can't always control the situation. You can't always control how it makes you feel. But you can control how you express your anger. In Proverbs 29, verse 11, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. Now, if you have your notes out, I want you to underline the two words, keeps himself. This is important. A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself, underline that, keeps himself under control. It's something that you and I have to do. It's a choice that we make. We often want to blame someone else for our anger. We get in an argument with somebody or we get angry at somebody and we say, you make me so mad. But the reality is, my friends, nobody can make you mad. If you're mad, it's because you made a choice to get angry. And on the other hand, since it is a choice, we can also choose to control it. Again, some of you say, Steve, I'm sorry, I hear what you say, but I just can't control my temper. Well, let me give you an example of how you can. Have you ever been in a heated argument with maybe a spouse or maybe one of your children or a friend or something, and the tension just begins to rise in the home. The tension begins to rise, and you're both angry, and it's just getting higher and higher and higher, and all of a sudden the phone rings, and you go over and you pick up the phone, and you're like, hello. I'm doing fine. Thanks. How are you doing? It is a beautiful day outside. Oh, sure. She's standing right here. Do you want to talk to her? Yeah, it's for you. What just happened? You made a decision to control your anger. And that's exactly the point that I'm trying to get at. We can decide to control our anger, friends. But friends, it's much easier if you make that decision ahead of time to control your anger. If you wait until you're in the middle of an argument, it's not likely that you're going to choose to control it. So the best way to say it is give your anger an expiration date. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, it says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Paul is saying, resolve it before the sun goes down. In other words, don't go to bed angry. Decide to keep short accounts. When you allow angry emotions to accumulate, I'm telling you, friends, it's like a pressure cooker that will eventually explode in destructive and inappropriate ways. And it will only hurt the people that you love the most. It will only hurt those that you say you care about. And you'll end up with a lot of regrets. So number one is determined to control it. Number two, remember the cost of uncontrolled anger, or I could say remember there is a cost to uncontrolled anger, either one. You're more likely, let me say it this way, to control your anger when you know there is a consequence, when you know that this is going to cost you. Friends, anytime you lose your temper, there is always a price tag with it. There's always. You may not always see it, but I will promise you that it's costing you dearly. Listen to these scripture passages in Proverbs chapter 29. An angry person starts fights. A hot-tempered person commits all kinds of sin. Proverbs 15. Hot tempers cause arguments. Proverbs 14. People with a hot temper do foolish things. Proverbs 11. The fool who provokes his family to anger and resentment will finally have nothing worthwhile left. I'm going to read that one again. The fool who provokes his family to anger and resentment will finally have nothing worthwhile left. Do you see what I'm saying? Your anger always comes with a price tag. Anger is going to cost you something. It may cost you your job. It can cost you the respect of other people. It might cost you the love of someone that's very special in your life. I mean, seriously, anger can cost you your health. Some of you use anger to motivate people to action. And so you yell at your kids, you yell at the sales clerk, you yell at your employees. Why do we do that? And you say, well, because it works. You know what? It may work in the moment because you can scare people into doing almost anything. But in the long run, you will always lose. You will always lose. So yes, you're shouting at your employees to do something, and as you're coming down on them, it motivates them to action so they go do something. But I'll promise you, they're building a wall around them between you and them. I promise you that you are alienating them. I promise you are hurting your relationship with that employee. You are hurting your relationship with that child. You are hurting your relationship with that spouse. It may move them to respond. But in the long run, you will pay a price because anger always alienates the people we love. Think about it. When people are angry and shouting at you, in other words, somebody starts to scream and yell at you and you're sitting there and taking it, does it endear you to them? Do you find yourself saying, I love you so much? Not likely. Because usually it's at that point, you don't feel any love at that moment. You don't like being yelled at. You don't like somebody shouting and screaming. You don't like someone demonstrating their anger towards you. And so it pushes you further away. And as I said before, it oftentimes causes us to build a wall around ourselves, a cocoon around ourselves that says, you know what, I don't have to take this. I'm not going to hear this anymore. I'm going to shut them out. In other words, it's like, I'm going to close my spirit down. Marriages, we'll talk about that next week. A marriage, two people come together with their spirits wide open to one another. They're transparent with one another. But then one of them begins to shout and scream at the other until before you know it, that spouse has so closed their spirit down. They may live under the same roof, but they're not receiving from each other anymore. And parents, if you're showing constant anger to your kids, you are pushing them away from you. I've had parents push back on this. I've talked to parents at times and said, you know, really, you got to control your anger with your kids. And they'll say, you know, Pastor Steve, I admit I have a temper. I admit that I'm very demonstrative and I express myself. And yes, there are times where it gets a little bit out of control, but it happens so seldom. You know, I'm a very loving person and I love on my kids. I hug my kids and they know that I love them. I tell them that I love them all the time. So they understand me. It's not a big deal. It is a big deal. You are deceiving yourself. I don't care if it only happens occasionally. If they know that it happens occasionally, no one ever knows what's going to send you off. No one knows what's going to spark it, what's going to cause it in your life. And so therefore, what your kids will do is they will create this invisible wall around them to protect them because they never know when you're going to lose it. I'm telling you, you will not have the type of relationship you want to have with your kids if there is anger and tension in your home. I don't care how loving of a parent you are, it just won't happen. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Dads, hear me, please. Just focus on sensitivity toward your kids. Focus on sensitivity toward your wife. I'll say it again, nothing destroys a relationship faster than uncontrolled anger. Number three, reflect before reacting. Reflect before reacting. In other words, think before you speak. put your mind in gear before you put your mouth in motion? It's hard. Think about it. It's hard to put your foot in a closed mouth. But the problem is we like to talk, and I've heard these numbers floating around for years, and so I looked up to see if there was a recent study. There was, just this last year, a university in California did a recent study and found that men talk on an average of 7,000 words a day. Now, when you speak 7,000 words a day, you're bound to say something wrong. You're bound to get something wrong. So you just have to be careful what you say. And oh, yeah, the ladies, you speak 20,000 words a day. That's like three times as many words. I'm not even going to comment on that. You know, Phyllis Diller's husband, some of you remember Phyllis Diller, her husband was asked, what's it like to always have your wife get the last word? He said, look, I'm just grateful when she gets there. The point is, friends, if you learn to control your tongue, you'll learn to control the damaging effects of your anger. In James chapter 1, it says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone, not some, not most, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Your anger is a threat to peace in your life. Do you know, friends, hear me please. More than anything, God wants you to experience a peace that passeth all human comprehension. That's what God wants you to experience day in and day out. And your anger in your life is a threat to that peace. And that's why when you get angry about something, learn to just take a step back. Learn to just reflect on it. Try to understand why the situation is making you so angry. Is it really worth getting that upset over? Will my anger really solve anything? And what positive steps can I take to help this situation? In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. The more I understand my anger, the more I'll be able to resolve it. If you do this, then you can figure out what is the root cause of your anger. Now, I need to talk about this for just a second here. What's the root cause of your anger? Because oftentimes people get the idea that anger is my issue. In fact, some will just come out and say that. What do you struggle with? I struggle with anger. I've got anger issues. Anger is my problem. But do you know that in more times than not, anger really is not your problem? That anger is a secondary problem to what's really the cause of it, what's really going on deep down inside? It's usually caused by, for instance, hurt. Because someone hurt you, the outward demonstration of that hurt that you feel is anger. In fact, it's often defined, anger is often the visible sign of an invisible hurt. The visible sign of an invisible hurt. So hurt causes anger. Sadness causes anger. Fear, disappointment, or shame. And see, what I'm trying to get you to see, that's why it's so important for you to explore the possibilities of these other emotions that may be causing you this anger. For instance, maybe someone criticizes me because I become angry or defensive because they criticize me. Why does that happen? Because of my fear of inadequacy. I'm not sure I'm good enough. Physical or emotional pain can also cause anger. I'm angry because someone hurt me. They hurt my feelings. And because of that, I feel my heart is broken and because of that, I'm angry. Or maybe I'm literally feeling back pain. And because I'm feeling literal physical pain, I'm just impatient and I'm angry because of the hurt. Friends, if you can learn to express your hurt instead of your anger, you will get a far more receptive audience. You see, here's the problem with anger. If I get angry with you, what do? Well, your natural response is to get angry right back at me. If I begin to shout at you and get in your face, your natural response is to shout back and to get in my face. But at the same time, if I decide that I'm going to control my anger and that I'm just going to come to you and I'm going to say, look, you know what you shared with me yesterday, that was hurtful. I know you probably didn't mean it and I'm not upset. I just want you to know it hurt my feelings. You know you're going to get a much more receptive audience from that type of conversation than if you blow your lid, if you blow your top and just blast that person. Another thing that can cause anger is frustration or impatience. We don't like to wait, do we? Because we don't like to wait, we get very impatient. Or we want to be, here's a big one. We try to control things. We're control freaks. We believe that we control every circumstance or that we can control every situation. such as people. We think we can control people in our life, and so our spouse doesn't respond or react the way that we think he or she should, and so it frustrates us and it causes us to get angry. When you're in a traffic jam, late for work, it's all out of your control. There's not a thing you can do, and so it makes you angry. Listen, friends, we think we're in control of so much, but in reality, most things in life are way beyond our control. But friends, the one thing we can control, please hear me on this, the one thing that we can control in our life is the reaction to our reaction to the situation. You can control your reaction to the situation. Fear is another thing that can make us angry. When we're afraid or insecure, we get angry. So when you see a person that's always angry, my friends, it's likely that they're a very insecure person. So again, if you'll simply reflect on your feelings of anger before you react to your feelings of anger, I'm just telling you, you'll have a much better chance of controlling your anger. Number four, let go of my anger appropriately. Let go of my anger appropriately. Part of Ephesians chapter 4 that we read earlier said, in your anger, do not sin. In your anger, do not sin. So it shows us that we can be angry and not sin. So anger, my friends, is a God-given emotion. We have to understand that. So oftentimes Christians have this idea that if I get angry, I'm sinning against God. That's just not true. God is the one that gave us anger. We talked about that earlier in my talk that about sometimes how God uses anger in our life. But he's telling us here that be angry and don't sin because anger is such a high emotional response, it's easy to step over the line. It's easy to say something we shouldn't have said. It's easy to respond incorrectly. So we just need to know that when we have that emotion going in our life, we need to be very, very careful that we control it. Obviously, I believe that God gets angry. I believe that racism angers God. I believe that injustice angers God. I think it angers God when he sees an adult harm a child. I think it angers God when people break their marriage vows and commit adultery. Why? Because God doesn't want to see his people hurt. Friends, God is absolutely a God of love, and sometimes the loving thing to do is just to get angry. I mean, did Jesus get angry? Well, yeah. We saw him take a rope and make a whip out of it and chase the money changers out of the temple. In John chapter 2, listen, it says, in the temple area, he saw merchants selling cattle, sheep, and doves for sacrifices. He also saw dealers at tables exchanging foreign money. Jesus made a whip from some ropes and chased them all out of the temple. The Bible clearly tells us that Jesus never sinned. And so people sometimes look at that and say, I don't understand it. It says that Jesus never sinned, but there he is. He loses his temper. But see, that's the key. He doesn't lose his temper. He's angry, but he remains in control. He knows exactly what he's doing. Friends, it's important that we understand that if we're angry, and we all are going to get angry at times, that we keep it in control. Now, there are inappropriate ways to demonstrate your anger as well, and I put a place in your notes for that. First of all, don't suppress your anger. Don't suppress it. In other words, don't store it up inside. You acknowledge to yourself, okay, I'm angry, I'm mad, but I'm not going to express it publicly. I'm not going to let anybody know that I'm angry. Instead, you find yourself venting through sarcasm. Some of you think you're so witty with your sarcasm, but it's oftentimes coming from suppressed anger. Friends, a sharp tongue will cut your own throat. Some of you are manipulators. You're so proud of yourself because you don't have these outbursts of anger. Instead, your attitude is, I don't get mad, I just get even. You scheme, you plan on how to make a person pay. It's coming from suppressed anger, and it's wrong. So don't suppress your anger. Another one is don't repress your anger. Now, some of you say, I don't see the difference. Well, there is a slight difference. Let me explain. Repression does not even acknowledge the emotion. Where when you suppress it, you acknowledge it, you just shove it down. But when you repress it, you shove it down and you're in denial. You don't even acknowledge it. And so if practiced for a long period of time, repressed anger causes deep anguish that likely will bring on physical disorders. In fact, again, let me stop here and say, I think this is the one that this is how Christians think we're supposed to respond, isn't it? I mean, when I'm angry is a sin against God. And so I just want to shove it down, and I don't even want to think about it. I just want to be in denial that it even exists. And isn't that honor God? Well, again, your anger is not a sin, as long as you keep it under control. And obviously, trying to deny that it even exists is going to come back and haunt you every time, because anger will always find expression. It's only a matter of when and how. People that are critical in a church or critical in a relationship are often people that are just trying to repress their anger. Something happened to hurt them or frustrated them, and they had their feelings of anger. But instead of dealing with these feelings of anger, right then and there, they tried to repress it. And now everything in that relationship feels bad to them. Everything's bad. They can't even point to the reason why. It just, everything makes them mad. They're just angry. Everything's bad. Everything's bad at church. Everything bad is bad at work. And I'm just saying, friends, anger is going to find a way to express itself. So you need to go back and you need to deal with that one thing that hurt you. There is a word for repressed anger. And do you know what that word is? It's called depression. The word for repressed anger is depression. Depression is frozen rage. Depression is repressed anger. I've certainly recognized that at times in my own life, haven't you? And maybe there are some of you here today that are struggling with depression. Then what is it that you're angry about? If you're feeling very low, if you've been struggling with depression for a while, ask yourself, what is it that I'm possibly angry about? What is it that's frustrating me that I just won't admit? What is it that I'm trying to control? What is it that I'm insecure about? Listen, friends, you're not going to get any better until you bring it out into the light. And you say, you know what, Steve? I've been dealing with anger most of my adult life. I've been dealing with anger for 10, 20, 30 years. You know, I don't know what to do. Friends, you've got to deal with it, because it's hurting the relationships in your life. It's causing a chasm between the relationship of your life, division between the relationship of your life. You really, if it means getting a counselor, you need to talk to somebody, because a counselor can dig down deep and find out what's the primary cause of your anger. Not, anger's the secondary. What's causing it? Is there a hurt deep down there? They'll help you to find it. I don't need a counselor. Oh, you're just going to continue to destroy your family. You're just going to continue to cause your kids to pull away. It's too important. It's too important to ignore in your life. You need to deal with this. Another thing in your notes, don't express your anger. Don't express your anger. We already talked about this, and so I won't spend a lot of time on it, but this is seen in violent reactions, outbursts, or verbal abuse. And in other words, you're leaving burn marks on everyone in your path. Some of you express your anger through pouting. Oh, you don't verbalize your anger, but everyone around you knows when you're angry. They can see it in your facial expressions and in your body language. You're trying to manipulate people oftentimes with your silence. And you have to be coddled to get your own way. Honestly, friends, I don't know how else to say this. Some of you just need to grow up. You're too old to be behaving that way. You're too old to be pouting. And seriously, it takes maturity to manage your anger. This next point in managing your anger is the solution for long-term change. If you want to break a lifetime pattern of anger in your life, here number five, and that is transform your mind. You have to transform your mind. In other words, friends, you have to change the way you think. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." The way you act, hear me on this, the way you act is determined by the way you think. So if you want to change the way you act, then you have to change the way you think, because you're acting angry because you're thinking angry thoughts. The battleground is the mind. Those of you that have been around here a while know, you hear me say that all the time. The battleground is the mind. Jesus says in John 10:10, the thief, and he's talking about Satan, he says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. How's he going to do that? How's the devil going to do that to us, destroy us? In your mind. The battleground is the mind. And so Satan wants to lie to you. He wants to tell you things are worse than they really are. He wants to plant lies in your head to make you even more angry than you've ever been before at this particular person. Proverbs 22:24 says, "Don't befriend angry people." Did you know anger is contagious? I mean, think about this. If Dad, let's say you come home and you're angry at your employer. You're angry at the workplace, and so you come home and you begin to express it to your wife. And that happens day after day after day. I will promise you that after a week or so, your wife is now going to become angry at your employer. The anger will grow within her because anger is contagious. And if you keep it up, you will find that weeks later, your children now have even become resentful and angry at your employer because anger is contagious. And that's the reason, friends, that you can take a good kid, just a good kid that's looking for acceptance, and you can put him right in the middle of a gang, and within a year, you will have another angry child. And if children grow up in a home of angry parents, guess what those kids are going to learn? Anger is learned behavior. And so what happens is that you see this over and over, and I know I'm telling many of you your own stories because you've lived this. You grew up in a home of outbursts of anger all the time. You grew up in a home that was very volatile. It was just all the time. You never knew when it was going to explode. You never knew when someone was going to begin to scream and shout. And maybe you kind of pulled yourself in to protect yourself, and you became very quiet and drawn in to yourself. And you thought to yourself, I'll never be that way. I'll never act the way my dad or my mom acted. And then all of a sudden you become an adult and you start to see it lived out in your own life. You can't believe it. You don't know how it happened, but it was learned behavior. You learned it when you were a child growing up because it's contagious. But here's the good thing about learned behavior. It can be unlearned. Anger and other things that we learn in the home can be unlearned. Number six, this is the last one, rely on God's control. Rely on God's control. You're not going to get better on your own. You need God's help to resolve the hurts and frustration. You need God's help to get rid of the insecurities and to get rid of the fears. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul writes, I love this, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. You ought to underline rule. Let the peace of Christ rule. Something's going to rule in your life. Something's going to take priority in your life. And Paul says, you want to know what that ought to be? Let the peace of Christ rule, because that's what God wants you to experience. Again, the peace that passeth all human comprehension. You need to let it rule. God wants you to live a life of joy and a life of peace. Anger will only destroy that. Listen, friends, God's power to change a life is when you get the peace of Christ in your heart to replace the anger in your heart. I know some of you say, gosh, Steve, you say this all the time, and you'll continue to hear me say it. Because bottom line, when it comes to our relationship with God, is our heart. I don't care what you want to talk about. I don't care what the subject matter is. What God is most interested in your life is your heart. He's trying to mold you and shape you into the image of Jesus Christ. That's what he's trying to do. And the bottom line is our heart. He loves you more than you could ever begin to imagine. He wants to be in relationship with you, and so he's concerned about your heart. It's always a heart issue. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, it says, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever's coming out of your mouth is revealing what's going on in your heart. Your relationship to Christ will determine how patient you are in life. If you have a close relationship with Christ, you will experience contentment that, my friends, only Christ can bring. And when you're content, nothing's going to shake you. Oh, there may be things that anger you along the way, but you'll be able to keep your anger under control because you know Christ has control of your life. So, my friends, I would say to you today, if you have a problem with anger, what you need to do is a heart transplant. And I know where you can get one. Jesus Christ specializes in heart transplants. Friends, wherever your hurt is this morning, God sees your pain, and no one cares more about you than he does. You matter to God. And he can replace the hurt in your life with his amazing love. Maybe what you need today in your life is a miracle. Maybe if you're really honest with yourself, there's a whole lot of tension in your home. There's a whole lot of anger in your home, maybe because of you. Then I would tell you, friends, this is too big of a deal. It's time to swallow your pride. It's time to make a decision. I've let this go on way too long. I've alienated way too many people that I love. I need to do something about this. I need to, first of all, turn it over to God and trust him with it. And then I can't stop there. Yes, I need to trust God with it, but I need to take some steps to move forward. I need to talk to somebody. I need to get a counselor, whatever, that can help me discover what's the primary cause of my anger. What is it that's causing these outbursts in my life? And then deal with it, to get rid of it once and for all. Do it for your kids. Do it for your spouse. But most of all, do it for you. You're not living the life that God wants for you. You're not living the life that God has for you. Do it for you.